Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ready, set, pod. Hello and welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Great British Bake Off podcast. Emily Fox, not here with us today, but don't worry, we're here with an all-star lineup regardless. Kurt Clark, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. I feel I have big shoes to fill in Emily's absence. Just pretend that on the bed that's not behind me that there are a bunch of croissants proofing like she had last week. Any baking knowledge that comes out of my mouth is purely going to be bull. So, take that with a grain of salt.
I know. I have a smoothie, which I definitely did not bake, and a bag of chips that I also did not bake and should not be eating at this time of morning. But don't worry, Kurt. We have a baking expert with us. Not only is she a baking expert, but she is a real life Brit. Yes, we have two Brits in 2 weeks on the Great British Bake Off podcast. Who could have imagined that? We are joined today by my friend Vita. Vita, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm good. I'm really excited to be on this. I've never been on a podcast, so I'm looking forward to sort of getting on with it, like being able to talk about the Great British Bake Off as well.
How long have you been watching Great British Bake Off? Are you a day one-er?
I think maybe like from when it was on, like on the original TV, like we had the BBC here. I used to watch it when I was on the BBC, like from season 3, I think. So it's been quite a while.
Early on. Kurt's pretty new to it. He's seen one season and then came into this. We like forced him into it. We're like, Kurt, just watch it. You'll love it.
And I think I did watch one season of the American spinoff, but it was like the holiday special. It was like, you know, 6 episodes. So I knew roughly what I was going to be getting into, but I did not expect it to be as delightful as I have found it.
Have you always been into baking, or has Bake Off really like jump-started your love of baking?
I think it was like a bit of both. Sort of watching the Bake Off, like seeing them do stuff. Because I think when it first started, it was all quite like relatively simple things to do. Whereas now, like they're making like these extravagant jelly cakes and putting jelly inside the jelly, which they never did before. So when it was new, it was like easy to follow. And it's like, oh yeah, I could try baking cookies.
What's the last bust cake that you created in terms of the bust of a famous person? How often do you do that? Daily, monthly?
I've never done a famous person, but I've made like a domestic cat sized cheetah cake.
No way.
It was really cool. It was really cool.
That's awesome.
A lot of Vita's bakes are cat related, which I'm very into.
Okay, I can see that.
Really fits with my aesthetic of liking cats and liking treats. Who are some of your favorite Bake Off contestants?
I really like Kim Joy's stuff. I can't remember which season she was in, but like all of her bakes now on Instagram, they're so cute. And it's like, I wish I could sort of be as talented to just be able to sort of make all my like pastries and cakes and buns and everything just look cute with smiley faces on them.
Yeah, she has a couple books out that I'm really interested in taking a gander at. I feel like if I tried her bakes, it would end up like those Pinterest fails where you have like the what I tried to do and what I ended up, and they're all like melted and sad.
Nailed it.
Yeah, it would be very nailed it.
What was that? I think Martha was on the one season I watched. She was like the 19 or 20 year old, very young. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. It was series 5. And yeah, so that's the only perspective I have. So I'm looking forward to catching up on all the preseasons and postseasons. And oh,
well, you can do it soon because we only have 2 episodes left after this.
Yeah, I tried co-watching another series with this series, and I just started getting things mixed up in my head because there was at the start of both, and there was like 20 contestants to manage in my head, and I just couldn't do it. So once this wraps, I'm going to go back, start from the beginning, watch through, plug away.
Vita, are you enjoying this season?
I am, actually. I don't think I watched it last year because I think it was like a mix of not having time, and then Mary Berry wasn't on it anymore, so I missed her. But yeah, it's been nice to sort of come back and be able to watch it all the way through. Like, I've prioritized it, like, because it comes out on Tuesdays here, like Tuesday nights, nothing else happens. Like, we're watching the Bake Off.
Yeah, that Tuesday to Friday on Instagram for me is like a minefield of trying to avoid spoilers. And so far, I've mostly been good.
I have not been good because I followed a couple contestants on that was my mistake. I followed Sarah and I followed Lottie because they were my favorites. And then they would like be like, this person won Star Bakers, like, and this person, like, good try, we love you. And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't do this, but I just can't bring myself to unfollow. But you know, I think I have to stop saying who my favorites are on the podcast because every single week, I'm like, okay, now I'm rooting for this person since my last favorite left. And then they go home that week. And so we saw Mark, the second Mark, leave this week. And I was pretty sad about that. Vita, who are your favorites this season?
I really like Lottie as well. I thought she was, love the sass.
We're a pro Lottie podcast for sure.
Yes.
And I really like Dave as well. Right at the start of this season, his like Sheba Inu like sort of came trotting and like the behind the scenes. And I was like, I love Sheba. Like, they're my favorite dog breed. I was like, he's my favorite to win. It's like, fingers crossed he stays.
Were you a big fan of Sarah walking her cat on the sidewalk?
Yeah.
Would you walk your cats?
I tried once with mine. Like, I tried to put the harness on him, but he just wasn't having it. Like, yowled until I took it off. So I think I'd like to try because he's like a house cat. And I just get him out and about into the park, but no.
I've tried walking my cat once or twice, but he just like gets in all of the bushes and doesn't actually want to walk. He just wants to be outside. You know, he likes to get outside and run to like the street and just lay in the middle of the street, which is not great. But luckily we don't live on a super busy highway or anything.
I typically don't think of cats as moving more than like 10 feet at a time. Like, they'll move and then they kind of stand there for a while or lay there and then they might get up and move again. But like dogs, they can be constantly moving. So, you know, maybe that's part of it.
I feel like my cat is like a little dog, and I know a lot of people say that, but we play fetch with him. Yeah. He like screams for his food. He like scratches at the door to get out. You know, it feels all very doggish.
Yeah, with mine, he's very cat-like. Like, he'll sleep. He likes his own personal space. You try to cuddle him and he's asleep, like, he will swat at you. Like, okay,
I feel like I'm missing out not having a pet. And I feel like if I knew how long COVID was going, well, like, you can't like just have a pet during COVID. Although my former manager at the very start of COVID said, hey, do you want to watch Pumpkin? Like, which is her dog. It's like, really, yeah, he or she, he's really well behaved. And like, then I finally, like, I went over once to visit, and that I was just so glad I did not take her up on that offer because that dog was crazy. Like, but I feel like I missed an opportunity to kind of explore pet ownership during COVID. Oh, well,
I think there's still time for you to get a cat. I think that's a great idea.
Me getting a cat.
Yeah.
I'm not a cat person. That's
oh, you
thing.
Will turn into a cat person. I feel like you and cats have very similar lifestyles. Like, you like to be in and, like, you know, look at food and hang out.
I like food like a dog likes food. Like, you know, dog will keep eating as long as there's food in front of it. And that's kind of me. That's why I would be like Matt Lucas as a judge in the early day or a host on the early days of this series, is that like I would just like keep eating every single thing that the contestants were making and would regret it at the end, but would not learn from that experience.
So let's get into the bake-off. It is dessert week. That is so incredibly vague. It could be anything. I didn't know what to expect. I thought it, you know, when we were easing into it with the signature challenge of like mini cheesecakes, I was like, okay, this is going well. This is going to be normal and everyone's going to do okay. That was not the case once we got into the technical, into the showstopper. But I'm glad we at least had an appetizer with the cheesecakes. So Peter made lime and ginger. Laura made passion fruit. Dave made celebration of citrus,
which included passion fruit.
Hermine made passion fruit, yep. And Mark made New York style vanilla with mascarpone. A lot of passion fruit.
Yeah,
is passion fruit big in the UK? Passion fruit and mango, like, are those two flavors you come across a lot?
Well, we're passionate about it. I think like me. Passion fruit is just so hard to find here. So I was quite surprised that so many of their bakers just had passion fruit, like scraping out like all the little fruits. So I was quite surprised to see how many people were using it.
And I didn't recognize the fruit at first. Like, I guess I've never seen like a passion fruit scooped out. I'm like, what is this like scrambled kiwi colored fruit? Although I'm trying to think, like, what's the one that's a really soft fruit? Like, you almost like it's almost like eating a water balloon in terms of persimmon. Persimmons can be very, 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 very soft. And there were some like jelly persimmons at a local farmer's market where you kind of had to keep them in this plastic holder because the moment you like pricked it, it would be like, it was like a water filled balloon. It was like such a soft skin. And I thought maybe that's what this was at first, but then they later said it was passion fruit several times, given how many people were using it. So that surprised me. Yeah. Mangoes and passion fruit. Big this series.
And then, Paul tried to say that he doesn't like passion fruit, and Prue was like, no, you like passion fruit. He's like, yeah, I do. Oh, Paul is getting cheeky this season with his likes and dislikes.
I thought it was, after the whole relish gate, Gherkin gate, where he's like, I would love to have this. I'm looking forward to it, but please make mine without gherkins. And then, you know, God bless Prue. Like, what was it that she didn't like, but she like still stomached it last week?
Baked beans.
Like, you know, yeah, she didn't whine like Paul did. And so I thought he was playing the diva card again and was like going to ask for could you give me a version that doesn't, could you give me a passion fruit cheesecake without passion fruit, please? But I'm glad that he was kidding. It's hard to tell with him sometimes though.
I think I liked the look of Mark's the most. I thought they looked really cool with the apricots on it. And I mean, you say mascarpone and I'm in. Like, I'm not even sure if I've had mascarpone, but when you throw other names of cheeses into cheesecake, I'm like, yes, please sign me up for ricotta. Sign me up for mascarpone. And I like the sound of Peter's lime and ginger. That sounds fun. But Peter just doesn't do it for me. I never want him to be successful, and I feel like such an asshole about it because, like, he's not doing anything wrong. I'm just like, you, Peter, like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I was like, Peter, this was his last week.
Yeah, he was like a little bit scared this week. Fingers crossed, I was hoping something would go wrong. And like, yeah, I don't know why. Like, I was on the Peter train like the first three episodes, and then after that, I don't know what happened where I don't know. There's just something about Peter doesn't have any pets. You can tell. He probably does. There's probably like all over his Instagram, but it's like, he doesn't strike me as the pet person. He'd be like, well, my brother's allergic to dogs. And so I have to, you know, take that into account along with gluten-free cooks. So
yeah, we haven't seen a gluten-free bake in a couple of weeks. Thankfully he's kind of given up on that train.
No brother references, no badminton references.
I wonder if Paul sat him down and was like, Peter, stop making gluten-free stuff, please, for the love of God and baking.
There are bakeries that can cater to your brother. You don't have to.
I truly feel bad because there's nothing about Peter that I shouldn't like. And it's not even that I dislike Peter. I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I'm just like, Peter, why are you here when Mark left? How dare you?
Was it just me, or were there awkward moments between Noel and Peter this episode?
I feel like Noel hates Peter.
Well, what was the whole, like, let's get him nude?
I'm like, is he 18? Like, let's make sure. Noel was losing his mind this week. I think he's been in the bubble too long.
And the heat. Yeah.
I thought this was probably Matt Lucas's best episode so far. But he's still not doing it for me. Yeah. I just he's not doing it for me. I don't know what it is. I think I need some feminine energy in the tent. Like, that is what I'm looking for. And Matt just isn't bringing what I need from a Bake Off host. I think we've said it week after week after week. And it's just that, like, Noel and Matt are playing the same role of comedy. There's nobody to bring it down and bring some actual hosting into it. I feel like they're both losing their minds.
I don't know if you guys would have watched it when Stu and Mel used to be on it. And there would be like the sort of the awkward jokes, but there'd be like a lot more presenting, getting to know the bakers. And they used to do the history behind the bakes as well.
Yeah.
Which they don't do anymore.
Yeah, the series five was Sue and Mel. So that's actually the, and then it's funny that, you know, prior to Bake Off, Haley introduced me to Taskmaster. So that's where I first met Mel and Noel as contestants on there. So I was like, oh, these are familiar faces. But yeah, Sue and Mel were the first ones I met. And there's one who did it. There's a judge I missed then, right? Who did Matt replace?
Sandy.
Yeah, I've never met Sandy.
Sandy's great. I loved Sandy. She's a host on a couple other British game shows. She's really brilliant. I think you'll love her. And I really do miss her. I'm not totally sure why she left. I haven't really looked into that. But I do miss her. I miss that. She was the kind of the same as Sue. She had the same kind of vibe that Sue did. And Noel reads very Mel to me. So I didn't feel like it ever skipped a beat when we changed presenters.
Yeah, it's Matt. I think we said like last week, I thought that was Matt's best week to date. And like this week, I think you're right. It's even better. So he's getting there. He's got a couple more episodes to fully win me over, or even like get some notes after that. Like, I have a feeling he'll still be there next series. Get some notes after the series, just adjust your approach. And so I'm giving him plenty of leeway and room to improve. So not kicking him off my TV.
So the signature was fairly successful for a lot of people. I was very anxious when they're trying to take the cheesecakes out of the molds.
Yes.
I thought Hermine had a great idea of putting it in the little jar. Paul said that the bottom got mushy because of that. But I don't know, like, I guess you have a crisp bottom on a cheesecake. I made a cheesecake for Lita one time, or for Vita one time. It was pumpkin. I don't know if you remember that, Vita. My first cheesecake ever. You got to try.
No, I do. And it was really good because I think like with pumpkin flavors, I never know if I'm going to like it. And it's like, ooh, like this comes, like it comes together so nicely.
I love a pumpkin cheesecake.
There's a YouTube channel that has like been my happy place during COVID called the Try Channel. And it's all Irish people try blank. And it's just commenting on like Canadian chips they had and, you know, American, strange American breakfast cereals, but they were doing Cheesecake Factory cheesecakes. Mm. And one of their complaints was that the consistent complaint was that the base of the cheesecake wasn't biscuity enough. You know, it didn't have that that thickness or that consistency that I think that they were used to. So I liked seeing, having just watched that prior to watching this episode, I was like paying close attention to like what kind of crusts or what kind of bakes that or layer was in there.
I liked that they had to make their own biscuits to then crush up and put in the bottom. It seemed like so depressing. It's like, I'm making these cookies and then I'm going to crush them immediately. But I liked how this was one of those challenges that I love on Bake Off, because it's pretty simple on the surface, but it gives a lot of wiggle room for creativity and interesting flavors and doing something different. You know, then you can really get a sense of personality based off of those. So this was a fairly successful challenge.
Yeah.
I wish we could say the same for the technical, which was just one of those ones where it's a disaster. You know, disaster when Prue was describing it. So they had to make two Sussex pond puddings. So it's a suet pastry, and you had to make a silky smooth creme anglaise for it. So they said that this pastry was from the 1700s or the 17th century. I can't remember which. Vita, have you ever heard of this?
Never. That's not real. That doesn't exist.
It's a whole lemon just sitting in pastry. And this is like my nightmare dessert, because I don't like citrusy, like lime. I can deal with the orange and lemon desserts are not my thing. So this was like a worst case scenario dessert for me. Like, unless that encased stuff that you put around the lemon was like perfectly, you know, developed to counter that level of tartness. I don't think I could have done this.
For those who are just listening to the podcast and did not watch the episode, let me see if I could describe this to you. But I feel like any way I describe it, you're not going to believe me that this is a real thing they did on TV. So they had to make a suet pastry, which is using an animal fat that's more in the organs, I do believe. And I think it's
more the lining of like the livers and kidneys. They said that's where suet. So Peter schooled me on where suet comes from. It was like, yeah, a fatty layer around some of the internal organs.
So then they had this pastry and they had to put in a mold. But inside the pastry, there was, like Kurt said, literally just a whole lemon. And there was a sauce of sugar and butter. And then to cook it, you steam it, but you steam it until it gets crispy, which is not how I ever think things are going to end up steam. Like, you steam things for like that soft, doughy texture, not for like crisp pastry. And then when you take it out, you're supposed to be able to just like hit it and it cracks open and all the sauce melts out. And you're supposed to just be able to straight up eat. Again, a whole lemon. We're not peeling it. We're not slicing it. It's just literally a whole lemon.
Wait, it wasn't peeled? I thought it was peeled.
No, it has the peel on. It's just a whole lemon.
It's like, that must be really bitter as well.
Yeah, that's, like, it's an upside down lemon pot pie is basically what it is, right?
Truly, that's what it looked like.
I mean, like, picture it, except, yeah, it's like, but instead of dicing up the lemon for like a normal pot pie that I guess you would make, just picture the whole lemon sitting. That's like the dimension of the shape and size of this is like what you would picture if you stuck a lemon in a pot pie and turned it upside down and didn't want it to leak anywhere.
It was one of the most horrific things I've ever seen on my television. And when they were judging, none of them, like, sure, there was a winner, but it was not a winner. It was like, I guess this was the least worst.
Nobody got the lemon right, I don't think.
Here's the thing, though. Every time Prue was like, well, you should have steamed it for another hour. Where are they getting this other hour from? Like, give them another hour if you wanted to steam for another hour. So I feel like everyone got it in as soon as they could.
I think they were given like 2 hours or something to do the challenge. I think it's like one of Paul Hollywood's recipes that says that it should be steamed for like 3, or like it takes 3 hours to make if you're going to do it properly.
Then why? Then why are we only giving them 2 hours? Why are we setting them up to fail? I mean, you're telling me that lemon is going to become soft in like an hour of steaming. I can't imagine that is the case. And it wasn't the case. Everyone, all the judges were just like, well, the sauce is just sugar and butter, and the lemon didn't actually do anything. You didn't get any of the lemon flavor because it's still a whole lemon.
First of all, I don't know how you couldn't get any lemon flavor out of this when there's just a whole freaking lemon sitting there. It's the only component that's flavored.
And the pastry would just collapse and reveal this lemon, and it was, the lemon was just like, hello, I'm here. It was just so like, depressing. Yeah.
Oh, and going back to the cheese, speaking of collapsing, like, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that Peter's cheesecake did collapse, kind of. Like, he did kind of get some bad marks there. So that's why, just looking ahead, I was a little bit surprised that he didn't end up actually going home. I actually thought there was a chance of it. But regarding this technical, I think I need to go back and watch the setup. You know how Paul and Prue are in the tent and they're talking about, they have the exemplar of all pond puddings like in front of them, and how this is, it's amazing. And I think I need to go back and rewatch that scene, because what's really left scarred on my internal memory are all the failed attempts that we saw from the bakers. So I think I need to go back and remind myself of what the successful attempt is meant to look like, especially in terms, because I don't think it was until the part, like, they were actually underway with the technical that I understood there's just a whole lemon sitting in there. So I think I need to go back to the Paul and Prue section.
Well, because,
and keep an eye out for that.
It's perplexing that they would just stick a whole lemon in a dessert. So when they were doing it, I was like, a whole lemon in there, eh? So we're cutting it up. And then it was like, a whole lemon. I was like, okay, so at least they're peeling it. And then looking at it, I'm like, no, it's just, they're going, yes, here's the lemon. Enjoy, everybody. And the funny thing is, Prue said, these aren't the most beautiful puddings ever. It's like, what are we doing with these ridiculous pond puddings?
And they said it was strange. We kind of had like a reverse between, like, typically the technical, you have a larger batch of items, like 12 or 8 or 10. But it was with the signature challenge, they had to make the 12 identical mini cheesecakes. And here you just had to make two puddings. And I'm guessing they had to make two puddings because odds are one was going to fail. Like, I think we even saw, I thought that Mark actually, or visually, Mark was the closest to not having one actually completely collapse.
Yeah.
And it was still just one of the two. And between like this being from the 1700s and the just how unappealing it looked, and the fact that I think Paul even said you're given just enough to do just enough of the ingredients to do this correctly. So no, oh, I messed up that batch, I can start over again. So I think we talked about that last week. Is like, do they have just enough for the technical? Do they have just enough to get it done, or do they have some extra in case they have to correct a mistake? And here they had, sounds like, zero extra. They had just enough to make it right the first time.
And I'm getting frustrated that it seems like your placement in the technical has the least impact on the total score of the week. Because Mark came second in the technical and Peter came fourth out of five. But it's almost used as a tiebreaker. It's like, oh, these people are close, but this one did better in the technical. Or it's like, or I don't even know. It's used to cast doubt on who's going home, but it doesn't seem to have any real impact. And maybe that's why they're using these insane bakes that no one's ever heard of. Like, who has heard of this besides Paul and Prue?
Like, who's going to make it as well?
Are you like, yeah, like, are you gonna look up this recipe, Vita, and make this?
No, it's
insane. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I feel like we've gotten some weird technicals this season, like with the rainbow bagel. Yeah, like what else have we had so far? Can you remember? I'm like pushing them all out of my memory.
Well, we've got a good.
Oh yeah, that's true. We have this document here.
The matcha crepe cake. The eclair week, the chocolate babka, which was actually I thought was pretty good.
Yeah,
that one was like one that, like, I knew just from having, like, you know, our mutual friend Bryce makes babkas all the time, and I've seen like his turnout, and I've had them myself. So I think I had to step up on the contestants, at least in terms of my experience with babkas. But the miniature pineapple upside down cakes from week one, they really kind of have been pushing the envelope.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
I felt like we were really pushing the envelope with the showstopper too. I just for how absurd this was, I thought it turned out really well for everyone.
Yeah.
It could have gone really, really wrong in a lot of spots, and it somehow held together with dreams and gelatin. Like, that's all this was.
It, I keep forgetting that they know these, it's that they have time to, they're given heads up and advance warning about each of these challenges. So I keep, there's a, right at the start of it, I'm like, well, how do they like just know how to do this? I was like, they may not have like, you know, prior to them having received word that this was the task. And then they just had the time to, you know, practice it. And it's like, it was a really fascinating approach to artistic working of a dessert, of a bake, and the injection of the color, or the it looked like surgery that Laura was doing at one point in terms of like, it was just amazing that, like, as much as I can like point and laugh at the inexperience with the babkas many, many weeks ago, it's like, this is something that's like, even the worst one would have, was miles ahead of where I could have done anything.
I'd like to think that even if I practiced jelly art for 10,000 hours, I could never, ever make something like this.
Like with Hermine's, it's like hers is just stunning. It's like the layers of the petals and like the different colors and just like perfect. It looked like a real flower in there.
I could not believe it. Hers was perfect. I was expecting her to get a Hollywood handshake out of that, and she didn't. Yeah. Maybe it was because she had to hold the jelly. I don't know. But he was really impressed by her. Not just the look, but the flavors of it. Again, Hermine's, you know, she's sticking to flavors that work, like chocolate and strawberry. That's proven to work, and she's doing it well. And I think that's what's important. They said that she is getting a little different with her flavors, but that doesn't seem really out of the box to me. But I have no issues with what Hermine's doing, and obviously the judges don't either, because she won her second star baker in span of 2 weeks. Good for her. I also really loved Laura's. I love the flowers. I thought koi was really cool. Did they find something wrong with hers? Why did she fall back?
I'm trying to remember. I just don't think it was as good as some of the others. That's all. Yeah. I don't think it was necessarily anything wrong with it. I was actually really kind of fascinated by Peter snow globe. I thought that was like if it had gone more globey, if it had been more spherical, and it was, I think that was pointed out by the judges, I think that could have been really interesting. And I saw their point about how the colors he used could have been more contrasting.
I thought his colors were pretty boring, honestly. And I'm wondering what Peter's obsession with Christmas is. This is 2 weeks in a row that we've gotten a Christmas themed showstopper from Peter.
Sure, and it was filmed in the summer.
yes it was.
Because underreported, I actually collect snow globes.
Wow.
Yeah, so our $1 million patrons can see the Snoopy snow globe, and I've got another one over there. One of those things that your like parents start you collecting, and they're the only ones who contribute to the collection. I was kind of fascinated to see how that would potentially turn out, and it was a little bit underwhelming. I liked the idea, and then also Dave's approach to like layers. It sounded like he would do like a layer of jelly, and then like some of the painting or the artwork, and then like another layer of jelly. So it had this 3D effect. So it's like it was hard to tell on the screen what the end effect was really from the camera angles I saw, but I got what he was trying to do, and I was impressed at least by the technique and approach.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, from a bird's eye view, it looked like the beach, like the sunset, I think it was.
Yeah.
Which I think the camera could have gone a better shot of as well.
Yeah. Do you think the beach he was emulating was a Mexican beach or a Thai beach?
Definitely one of the two. My guess is Mexico.
I thought his was really striking. I think Peter could have taken a few notes on the colors from Dave, because I thought his colors were really nice.
The thing is, I'm reading through the descriptions, and it seemed like most of the flavor came from either the baked element or the mousse, and that the gelatin or the jelly itself was rarely like a major flavored component. And I guess maybe I'm biased by good old American Jell-O in terms of, oh, is this wild berry flavored jelly? Or so the thing is, like, by having such a large component of it be jelly, to me, that just, none of these looked appetizing to me. Like, many of them were pretty. But yeah. I don't think I wanted to try.
I just didn't even like when he was cutting it, when it was just like moving around. I was like unsettled. Yeah. Like when Mark was placing his second jelly on top of the other jelly and it was like sliding around, I was like, I don't like this.
I mean, compared to what Lottie did during Japanese week, where she had like the jiggle cake, like that I would have tried. That was different. But this there was just, they were pretty, but nothing that I wanted to necessarily put into my mouth.
Yeah. Peter, if you were to pick one of them, which one would you pick flavor-wise?
I think I remember Laura's one. It sounded really nice. I can't remember who had... I know it was Dave's with the guava and apple flavoring. Mm-hmm. Like, that one sounds quite nice. I'd like to try those because I like apple and elderflower. So I think guava and apple would be a nice little mix.
Definitely.
That's the one I would lean into as well, in terms of, like, I'm not a big coconut fan, so sorry, Peter. I guess the Kirsch syrup, that's the cherry syrup that Ermine was using, right? It was during the signature or the showstopper where she said you can't have too much liqueur in your cake. So I might have tried hers. But yeah, the guava apple flavoring is something that really intrigued me. I would have tried that as well. And a clotted cream mousse. There's a fudge stand in Borough Market, and I've, every time I go to London and I go there, and I always get their clotted cream fudge, and it's amazing.
Well, I was hoping to go to Borough Market tomorrow, actually. So
I'm so jealous. Yeah, there's one fudge stand, and I can even visually picture where it's at. It's on the east, towards the east side of the market. But look for their clotted cream fudge; it's pretty good.
Okay,
that does sound delicious. I feel like this could have gone so much worse than it actually did. Even Mark's was pretty good, but I will say his did look super unfinished, and it did look like two separate pieces just stacked on top of one another. So that was tough, and I'm so devastated to lose Mark.
So wait, did he say they said there's a board there? Was that what they were taught? Like. So he had like a physical unedible piece separating the two, or was that just them saying that the hazelnut meringue was a board? Like, was there an actual board?
An actual board, and I don't think you can get them on top, but I'd have to double check.
Okay, but it sounded like there was some like issues with the mousse and the meringue as well, and so I didn't feel good coming out of that. This was also the one where I felt a lot of stress and agita about the getting the jello out of the jelly out of the molds. It was a lot of getting things out of things in this episode and stress around it.
At one point, Laura like threw her cake and somehow it survived. I was like, no, Laura.
Or she had like the jelly in one hand, like the disc like jelly. Like it's kind of droop. I was afraid it was going to like snap or just like kind of tear and break, but she's like managing. Oh yeah. When she went to move it and she's like, I'm surprised no one rushed her because she asked for help, and Hermine kind of looked up and nobody, but she got it onto her pedestal just fine. But yeah, I was afraid she was going to drop the cake at that point too, but she managed. Yeah, the
cake was destroyed. So I was surprised to see like a finished thing that looked really good.
I don't even know how they moved it from their bench to the presentation spot. I was so scared the entire time, especially with Marks. It looked like it was just going to slide right off.
Oh, yeah, this... I wasn't a fan of this week. Sorry. There was nothing... I'm not a huge cheesecake fan. It's okay. And plus, like, all the amount of citrus and the passion for cheesecake just didn't appeal to me. The jellies didn't look edible. Like I was saying, from a food tasting perspective, I wasn't a fan of this week. I thought there was like still some amazing showstoppers developed. There was nothing I wanted to try like really badly through the three of these challenges.
I am a big cheesecake fan, so yeah. I would have tried every single one of them at one time and been so thrilled. The pond puddings, like am I glad I saw it? Like, I guess, because it's so weird. But I feel like, to the fairness of the competition, they should have done something just a little more mainstream, but I don't know.
Isn't it Lyrsa from Survivor who got her dissertation or her thesis on like the historical place, like certain foods in history or something? So like, I know she's a trained chef and
right
and even education wise, she did some paper or she did some focus study like the history and food. So I think it's that sort of person who would appreciate the technical challenge, yeah. Like somebody who's done their dissertation.
Like the baker coming in being like, I'm on Great British Bake Off, what a dream come true. Oh, Sussex pond puddings, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, agreed.
It was there in front of me. I'd like to try it, like try a good one. But I wouldn't go out of my way to order it and find it or whatever. If it's there, I'll see what the big deal is. But otherwise, I'm happy never having to try it.
I would.
Yeah, we're never going to think about this pond pudding ever again for the rest of our lives.
If I saw it, I agree. I would not go out and actively look for it. And if I was on the grounds of the production of Great British Bake Off, I would want to try the one that was in Paul and Prue's tent, not the one that was in the contestants' tent or the ones in the contestants' tent. But if I was at a restaurant in the UK and I saw this on the dessert menu, I do have to say, even though it didn't look appealing and the entire concept of it goes against everything I like in food, I might try it now just because like, oh, that's that thing I saw on Bake Off.
I guess so.
It would have to be like under 12 pounds.
I don't know. If it was free, sure.
Yeah. If you ordered it and we were eating, I would ask for a bite.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. I want one single spoonful. It's just so, I feel like it's going to live on in my nightmares for years.
Like baking nightmares, worst case scenario, like that comes out the oven.
Yeah, exactly. And then you try and get it out and it just goes, like it melted. It just like disintegrated.
It became a puddle of mess.
I can't believe that you can get a crispy pastry from steaming.
Yeah.
It was a little bit like also like a chocolate molten cake or a lava cake where you cut into it and it oozes out on the plate, but in a completely bad way.
But like horrifying. And there's just a lemon in the middle.
You know, like it's really horrible when you think you're about to get a chocolate chip cookie and ends up being oatmeal raisin. Like that's like the worst. What would be even worse is like cutting into a chocolate molten lava cake and then inside you just find a whole lemon. I mean, that's like that would be like my nightmare. But every Christmas, my aunt who does catering and is a great, like she would be great on a show like this. She always asks, probably not happening this year, but like, is there anything that you want me to make or for the holidays? I think maybe next year I'll have to say, there's this thing called a Sussex pond pudding. What do you think you could do? And I think she would be up for the challenge actually. But she usually makes chocolate truffles and some amazing pies. And so we probably just go with that.
Please ask her to make one and see what happens. Please.
The thing is, I will be expected to eat it at that point.
I guess so. It would be worth it, though, I think.
I'm looking at pictures online now. they don't look too bad. Like the professional ones look like nice, like sticky toffee puddings, but like with a lemon inside.
That's what it looks like, a sticky toffee pudding. I was trying to think of it. That's exactly what it looks like. And the creme anglaise, like, did they pour it on top? Like, no, because that would melt the pastry even more, right? So, like, what a weird thing just to be like, here, enjoy this weird pastry.
I'm trying to remember, did they add the creme anglaise before or after they cut into the pastry? Before?
I think after.
After?
Okay. I think they were like, oh, this is a mess. Let's just dump more mess into this mess. Like,
liquid on.
Yeah, like, can we get more liquid into this weird dessert? Like, let's try.
And there was like no color contrast really between anything. Like, it was all these like Peter like shades of just blah. So,
oh, poor Peter.
Yeah.
Poor Peter. Well, I'm not saying who I'm rooting for now to win because they will go home next week. But Kurt, who are you rooting for right now?
I think last week I declared that I was going to root for Dave just because I didn't think anybody else necessarily was. And, you know, Top Chef, I tend to root for the boring guy. But I think it's fun to back him in terms of who I think I would be delighted to see win. I think it's the same person that you have that I don't want to say.
Vita, who are you rooting for? Are you still rooting for Dave?
Yeah, I think I'm going to still root for Dave, see how far he gets. But I don't think he will win. And I think we've all got the same person in mind.
but we're not just, saying, like, we're not jinxing that. Yeah.
I think like Dave's like a nice, I'd like him to get like, oh, I like Laura as well, though. It's like,
I know, I like all of them pretty much.
So we're all wanting Peter to go home next week.
I think that's the case.
The thing is, like, I don't know where this flip happened or why it happened or when it happened. I don't know if it was the second time he cooked gluten-free that pushed me over the edge. Or if it's just the shuttlecock cake. The shuttlecock cake. Because that was Japanese week. That was recently. This came before that. And the thing is, he's perfectly delightful. Maybe it's because he's a baking prodigy and it's good at something I will never be good at.
Well, yeah, you hate somebody who's younger than you and is better at you than things. You know what? That might be it.
He's perfectly delightful. And I think there's a lot of love for him on the internet. So it's just, it's fun to just take the contrary approach. He seems, I was like completely pro Peter the first few weeks. And I don't know what happened, but he seems absolutely like a great person. I do want to say that, but yeah, there's other people I'd prefer to win. After all his ageist comments last week, as Emily had pointed out.
He was born in the year 2000 and I'm depressed. He couldn't even legally drink in the States.
Vita's mouth just dropped open. For those who do not have the video, because nobody does.
Because he's so old.
I know. That was depressing when he was like, I grew up watching Bake Off and now I'm here and I was born in the year 2000. It's like, no, you can't even drive yet, probably.
I think he can drive.
Hopefully.
Probably can drive.
I didn't drive until I was like 21.
Oh. Canadian.
It's not a Canadian rule, it's just a B-rule. So that's it for this episode of Bake Off. Vita, do you have anything else to say about it?
No, I think everything. Kind of looking forward to see where it goes next week.
I do have the theme for next week. I looked it up.
Ooh.
It is Patisserie Week.
Okay, nice.
Which you'd think would be right in Ermine's wheelhouse, given what was it that she was talking about? Like Laura said, we pronounce it this way. And Ermine says, well, there's actually a way to pronounce it, so you should pronounce it correctly. What was the word? Do you remember?
I remember hearing that. It was French.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was the Genoise sponge.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, we call it Genoese. And Ermine was like, it's Genoise or the French pronunciation. So anyway, I know that Ermine has a lot of the French influence. She's brought up a couple of times. So it'll be interesting to see if that helps her or trips her up next week, if she overthinks it.
And she's on a hot streak. So
she is two in a row.
So we'll see.
At the start of the season, she was like quite quiet. I feel like there was a lot of focus on her. I think she just like stuck to the baking, just gone with it whilst everyone else is like joking around. And now like she's like, she has like a few one-liners. I can't remember them now. But it's like, she'll say something that's like, oh, you are great. You're fantastic.
Yeah. She just has like those, like the pop-ins and that the really impactful one-liners. You're like, yes.
Yeah. And I do love that she's just, she's like, I don't know if they'll like this flavor combination, but I do. So it just shows you like trying to bake what you like and what you know versus trying to meet other expectations. I mean, there is something to be said about, I've never tried this before. I've practiced it. It's not like something I've done for the family, you know, over the years, but there's something to be said about experimenting, trying something new. But I also like that she does these kind of classic flavors, or not even classic flavors, but flavors that she knows that she likes. That's helped her, I think.
And she didn't put like a ton of cotton candy artificial flavoring in her bake. So that's helpful.
I forgot about the
I don't know if I could ever forget about that. What was it? Cream soda and like cotton candy.
Root beer? Was it root beer? Cotton candy?
I don't know.
That was the sponge in the first episode, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The cotton candy flavored sponge cake. Was that Lottie?
No, it was
that documented all of this.
Yeah,
cake week.
Go right to the beginning.
It was Lorea. She was at first. Yeah, the bubblegum sponge and the cream soda sponge and the blue almond marzipan.
That's not what I'm going for.
No. I'd be intrigued to try a bubblegum sponge.
But with like a cream soda sponge too. Like, you got to choose one or the other. Like, you can't go all.
You can't have both.
No, you certainly cannot. So, Kurt, what have you been making this week? What have you been taking this week?
Ooh, I've been doing some Chinese takeout, which has been tasty. But I'm also at a point where because I move on Monday, I've been going through and trying to use up what's left. Like I did some COVID shopping in late March, early April, and I've had in my freezer uncured salt pork since then. So I thawed it out this week. And I still haven't used it because I also want to hit all of the places local to me that I love takeout from before I leave town. But this morning, like literally a half hour before we sat down to record, because I thought salt pork was just like a pork loin, but turns out it's very much more like bacon. And it's described, everything I read online is you would cook this in order to add it to like a chowder or add it to Prue's favorite baked beans.
Right. It's not like a let's straight up eat this.
Yes. So of course I just straight up ate it. And I diced some up this morning and threw it in my cast iron skillet, and I added a couple of eggs, which I need to get rid of. And I had like a container of blue cheese crumbles left, and I threw those in. So I kind of made this bacony salt pork scramble with blue cheese crumbles, and I added some garlic powder and some sriracha. Oh, it was so good. And I was like, I still have like 3/4 of this salt pork left, but only like one more morning to cook it and lots of places to eat out. So I got to figure out what I'm going to do. And then yesterday I actually picked up yesterday or 2 days ago. If you could go back, flashback to our pizza coverage, Haley, I had that gyro pizza. Yeah. I picked that up. Gyro pizza. With gyro meat, Kalamata olives, feta cheese, red onions. So it was like a pita wrap, a gyro wrap, but all on a pizza with an Alfredo base. Last time I had it was prior to our pizza coverage episode of Beyond Top Chef. And so I picked that up again a couple of days ago, and I still have like a third of that in the fridge. But I think those are the highlights. Yeah.
Vita, anything you've been making or getting takeout this week?
Well, we're going to order pizza tonight. Earlier in the week, we had curry, and I just sort of thought I'd whip up some naan breads just to see how they turned out. Nice. 'Cause it looks simple enough. And I was quite impressed. Like, for a first attempt, quite impressed with the naan breads. Not the same size or shape, so I don't know what Paul Hollywood would say about them.
I feel like those are hard to get the same shape, though.
Yeah, it's like you have to like roll them out into like an oval, and it's like one of mine was like a rainbow shape. There was like circles in there. A few were ovals. It was like all very random. I did like a no-bake cheesecake as well, pumpkin flavoured. And I tried to make it vegan as well, just because I want to experiment a bit more. But I think like all the vegan replacements made it a bit, like it was quite hard to set. So I like put it in the freezer and I'm going to like try and compare it when I make like a normal version. And I hope this weekend, I'll see how I'm feeling later on today. The day of tomorrow, I want to make a pumpkin pie. Nice. And like with a short crust pastry as well from scratch.
The big question is, what toppings are going to be on your pizza tonight? What's your go-to?
Well, from Domino's, I'll probably just sort of get any, like whatever I'm in the mood for. So they have the cheeseburger pizza. I don't know if that's sort of featured over there, but it's like a cheeseburger pizza with like ground beef, pickles, burger sauce, like drizzled on top.
Paul would love that.
Yeah. All the gherkins.
I've had a couple of cheeseburger pizzas that have been good in the States. I think they have it in Domino's here as well, but I've not had it.
Oh, it's so good. I love getting stuff across from Domino's as well. Like so much going on.
Mm-hmm. That sounds so, I love a Domino's pizza. When we went to Iceland last year, we had a couple of meals from Domino's just because it was one of the only reasonably priced food items in the country. And it was just so good. They put like a Parmesan cheese on the crust. Oh, it was just truly wonderful. Ooh. I had a great time eating Domino's pizza in Iceland while watching British television. That was like the highlight of our trip, was like watching British television while eating Domino's, which is very sad. What did I make this week? I made a Dutch baby pancake for the first time. And it turned out really well. I was shocked. You know what? It's basically just a giant Yorkshire pudding. There's like no sugar in the batter or anything. You just add toppings, basically. So you could make it savory or sweet if you want to. It was really good. I'd definitely make that again. Made steak for dinner last night. My key to a great steak is just using the meat thermometer and knowing what temperature you want to cook it to. And then this turned out really well. What else did I make? I can't even remember at this point. By this point in the week, I have no idea what's going on. I think for lunch, we're going to get poutine. You know, you need some Saturday gravy, I think.
I thought about getting a burger. Like I was going to go to, I'm not a huge In-N-Out burger fan, but I figured maybe I get one before I leave California. And I was going to get like a burger with fries somewhere, but on the fries, I was going to put some of that, salt pork. I was going to like cook it up, add it to the fries. And then I was going to say, do I have any cheese? And I was actually thinking, I was started going down the poutine road when I was thinking of how to use some of this pork that I have left over. But I don't have any gravy I could use, unfortunately. I think that's key. You need the curds and you need the gravy. Those to me are the two key elements.
Honestly, I could just do curds and fries. That would make me happy. I like the gravy, but oftentimes there's too much gravy for me and then the fries become a little soupy. But that's a personal preference, I think. So Vita, where can people find you on Instagram? You're doing a lot of cooking and stuff with a new Instagram account, and I think people should follow it because you're a great baker and really like visually good baker too.
Yeah, so I'll try to make them look pretty, but sometimes it's just hard. I think even with the cheetah cake, it's like I just sort of threw the icing on top of the sponge. Like, I think there's a picture there as well where it's like if you cut it open, there's like the icing is like an inch thick and it's like... It shouldn't be like that. So it's like on the outside, it looks good.
And that's what's important.
I started a new sort of kitchen, like cooking account as well. So I've got like a few like dinner meals that I've made as well that I'm putting on there. But it's Vita's Kitchen Ventures, which I'll sort of send over to you and then.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
There's a dot between each of the words. Yeah. Vita's Dot Kitchen Adventures.
Yeah,
we'll put it in the show notes so that you can follow along. Kurt, where can people find you on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere else?
I am at Kurt Clark with two C's. Trying to think if there's any food that I've posted recently that's worth checking out. When I got the Euro pizza. I also, it's posted on like the account, but I also got like a sampler of like tzatziki and a hummus and a couple other kind of traditional Greek spreads. That was really good. And there's, yeah, the pavlova I got a couple weeks, like last week, is on there. Anyway, but yeah, at Kurt Clark on Instagram, on Twitter, on Twitch, on Untapped, on those are the big ones.
Yeah, those are the main ones.
Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at hstrong_. Check out my blog, strongtakes.ca. Of course, the Bachelorette coverage is in full swing, so you can check that out. Amy and I actually did a special podcast with Rob Sestrinino this week to fill him in on what's been going on in the season. So check that out in the Rob Has a Podcast main feed, and then our usual podcast in the wrap-ups feed. And you could probably find in the same feed that you're listening to this right now. So you know what you're doing. Come on now. We've been at this long enough. Vita, thank you so much for joining us. This was wonderful.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this.
Good. I'm glad. Kurt.
Yeah, thank you for joining.
Bud.
You, everybody take care.
Have a great day. Oh, yeah. And pack your stand mixer and head on out. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.